One verse of Scripture. 2 Samuel chapter number 14. Verse number 14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. Yet doth He devise means that His banished be not expelled from Him. Let's read it again. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. Yet, oh, I love that word. Yet doth He devise means that His banished be not expelled from Him. I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes on a glimmer of grace. A glimmer of grace. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this great crowd that's here, for the kind invitation of the pastor and the fellowship. Lord, we thank You for the presence we've already felt in the singing, for what we've already been touched with. But right now, Lord, would You settle over this congregation. Lord, You know every heart and mind and burden and battle in this house right now. So, Lord, would You touch where we cannot touch? Would You reach where we cannot reach, Lord, and give us that anointing and the eloquence that comes with it tonight, we pray. And meet us around this altar with a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And we'll give You the praise, the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the name above every name we ask it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Historically speaking, these words of the text come from the lips of a wise woman from Tekoa near the end of her charade before the throne of David. Everyone knows the story. They're designed to by the hands of Joab, to win the heart of a king, to persuade Joab, to persuade David to bring Absalom home. For Absalom at this time is a young man in trouble. He really is. He's a man guilty of the murder of his brother and covered with the blood of his brother. He is living in the land of banishment at this time. And Joab knows the heart of David. David's a man in a struggle. He had to have been at this time. For he knows the law of the sovereign is against his son. But he has such a love for his son that, and there's no doubt that David is a torn man at this time. And Joab gets this woman, you know the story, what she's here to do. And I realize that there is so many commentators who are split on the lawfulness of what's about to happen right here. And really, I'm not going to debate it. I'll leave that to greater minds at other times. But really what I want to talk to you about tonight is something that here just a while back in my own devotion as I was reading this, it just I saw something flash across the page. And I read it again. And I saw it again. There is something so deep here. And if you could lift this 14th verse up from its surroundings and set it upon a pedestal by itself, it gives us an almost perfect story of humanity and God's plan of redemption. For we must needs die, and are as water spill on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth He devise means that His banished be not expelled from Him. Do you see it? Can you see the glimmer of grace that's there? Can you see the foreshadowing that looks beyond the land of the law to a day of grace that says that though sin abounds, grace does much more abound. That even in the midst of the darkness of banishment and exile, that there is a plan of God. Oh, I thank God for grace tonight. Even in the land of guilt, there's a glimmer of grace. The first thing I want you to notice in this text tonight is we see here the wages of sin confirmed. For we must needs die. His text starts by reminding us that death is an appointment that we all must keep. It's a confirmation of the wages of sin. Salvation, it reminds us, is an urgent need. For we must needs die. The wages of sin is death. The Hebrew writer reminds us that death is that appointment and that every one of us must keep it. For as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. It is an appointment that every one of us must keep. Everybody's got to. And some men get to live out the fullest of their days. They're talking about Brother Collins and reaching that 75th milestone. Thank God for those that make it to the hoary hair of old age. But not everyone does. The problem is that we have an appointment with death that we don't know when it is. But it is appointed unto man once to die. And we know that it is coming. And this, we know the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We know the wages of sin is death. But the thing that troubles me is the fact that death is not the end of the story. Salvation is an urgent need tonight because there is an after this. Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? And Scripture is full of the affirmative. And we might risk forsaking salvation tonight if death were the end of the story. But it's the after this that's got me concerned tonight. Oh, young folks, we need to be concerned with more than the here and now. There is an after this that every one of us must give an account for the deeds done in this body. And the psalmist said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Jesus said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Salvation is an urgent need. Today is the day. For tomorrow never gets here. So as young folks tonight, you need to realize the most important thing in your life right now is getting a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't build standards and fences high enough to keep you in if you don't have a personal relationship with Him. We must needs die. So in times like these, I'm reminded that we need a Savior. Salvation is an urgent need, but it is a universal need. Well, look at the personal pronoun. We must needs die. Neither doth God respect any person. Everybody. When you're born, you begin to die. It's a sentence of Adam that's passed upon all of us. Job said, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto the dust. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. It really doesn't matter where you're born out or what situation that you've got. We must needs die. So let's got to start tonight by reminding ourselves that there is a wage for sin. And the text reminds us, it's a confirmation that the soul that sins, it shall die. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done. Whether it be good or bad, we all must appear. Look at those words. If these were the only words that we had to talk about, what levels of despair we would fall into if it weren't for the glimmer of grace. So first off, you've got to remember tonight, we must needs die. And the only thing that matters for the rest of the night, are you ready? It doesn't matter who your father is, who your mother is, where you go to church, all that matters from right now, are you ready to die? We have so many who are ready to live, but so few who are ready to die. Number two, second thing that I see here, it's not just the wages of sin confirmed, but this text speaks to us of the woe of a sinner's condition. For we are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Now this text does remind us of a judgment that is coming. in the future. But it also reminds us that the state of a sinner, of a backslider, however you want to label it, the one that's away from God right now, it leaves so much to be desired. But it tells us of the waste of sin, where we are as water spilt upon the ground. I realize a lot of folks look at this as it's a judgment that is coming. But I believe that it speaks deeper than that, for it speaks of the waste of sin that is occurring right now. Water in that Middle Eastern culture was such a precious commodity. And to take water and to waste it upon the ground was almost a sin within itself. But listen to me tonight, young folks. God has got a call and a purpose for every life that is in this house right now. And to be anything less than what God has ordained for your life is a waste. It doesn't matter how successful the man becomes, how much money he stacks up, how much fame that he gets. If he is not where God ordained him to be, it is a waste. And to take the very breath of God that God ordained, to take the gift of God and to turn it up and pour it out upon the ground of sin, it is a great waste. Why does the Bible speak of sin as wasted? The prodigal wasted his substance with riotous living. It's always a waste. Solomon was a man who was so wise, but he wasted it. Saul was a man anointed by God, but he wasted it. Samson was a man more mighty than any who has ever lived, but he wasted it. And the burden of my heart right now is that so many young folks in the holiness movement, as I said in the introduction, there's never been a generation who knows more about God than the generation right now. But the thing that's tormenting my heart right now is I see a generation who could shake this nation, who could take what you know and have a revival. But the fact is, we know about God, but we are failing to experience God, and we are on the verge of wasting our hour. We speak of the darkness that surrounds our nation, and it's there. But I am excited right now, because I really feel like we've never been closer to revival in modern history than we are right now. Because I told you that the city that I live in is full of churches, but I'm dealing with people every day. We opened a thrift store to try to get out community and get folks to reach some folks, and I'm dealing with people every day who know nothing about God, who've never heard the Bible. I've got people coming to church that I'm preaching to right now, and I've had to really back off and begin to talk very elemental and very basic. And you know what it is? It's refreshing, because it's folks that don't know the glory of God. They don't know the miracle power of God. And you know what it tells me is that there's a whole generation out there right now that don't know. We talk about being in a gospel-hardened society, and I understand what we're saying, but there is some folks out there right now that all they know is drugs and alcohol. There's children right now that have never been to Sunday school and don't know anything about it. And we as a movement and as individuals need to rise to the occasion right now and shake this country for God. Oh, it's not going to be done at the ballot box. It's not going to be done in some parade somewhere, and it'll be when my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. Let's don't waste the opportunity that we've got right now. We see all around us the fragments, the broken pieces, shattered on the rocks of sin. And if God would help us tonight, I'd like to get somebody. I'd like to ask a young lady or a young man in this house tonight and save you from the waste of sin. Let me be careful, because I'm right here in the hometown. Very close. My first cousin was a young lady who was so talented, so blessed by God. She could sing and just move a crowd. But she reached the ripe old age of 26, and she's not married, with no prospects. And she got worried that she's going to be an old maid. Brother Dexter World told my wife and I, before we ever got married, he said, "Let me tell you something, there's some things worse than being alone. I could take it from a lot of people, but here's a man who understands, who's walked the lonely trail." And we went back to prayer again, fasting and praying. "God, is this the way? Is this right?" But Debbie decided that there was a man begin to talk to her, Brother Neil. And the only problem is he was somebody else's husband already. But she was caught up in it. She sent word to my dad, said, "Tell my Uncle John, don't talk to me about it. I've already got God's approval on it." God's Spirit never contradicts God's Word. And I will leave it there. Listen to me, young folks. If it's getting you, if there's a spirit guiding you away from the book, it is not the Spirit of God. For the Spirit of God never contradicts the Word of God. But let me hurry, but I'll tell you, it didn't stop there. She soon became the ex number two. And it was from one to another. Until finally she found that sugar daddy she was looking for. And she's got the nice house and a lot of things. And she's got everything she wants now, it looks like. But it finds out he's a child molester. And she's got a child now that's scarred for life. But I lost track of her for a while. But I was preaching in a church not far from here. And somebody staggered in that looked so vaguely familiar. Less than 90 pounds. With a pick, that artificial pick in her arm to go up where they could put nutrients in. Because some reason or another her body won't absorb anything. She's dying. And I looked at her, Brother Neil, in the middle of my preaching. And I realized, it's Debbie. Oh God. And I thought, the waste of sin. She came to the altar that night and struggled. And she wrestled. And she reached up and got a hold of me by the shirt. And she said, "You tell my story everywhere you go. And tell them I am the classic example of a backslider. It's to take God's gift and to waste it." Oh, I tell you folks, I've heard folks that say there's no point crying over spilt milk. And I know what you're saying. You can't change yesterday. But I think it's high time somebody started crying over wasted water. Oh, I'm tired of seeing young folks raised in the house of God. And you come back years later and you ask where they go. She's gone. Another tragedy. Another one that's been stripped away by the fowler. And I'm telling you tonight, oh, I'm here to preach to somebody that sin is a waste. It doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter where you go to. It is a waste. It's not just a waste of sin, but it's the want of sin that I see here. Well, listen to what he says. "He has water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again." There are some things that once they are gone, they can never be brought back again. Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. But once the water's spilt, you can damage yourself in sin so irreparably that when you make it back, you are marred that vessel. And he made it another vessel. But it'll never be what it once could have been. I'll tell you, I went to school with a little old boy. He was quite a bit younger than me. They lived in a kind of a housing project house. Their mom and dad was in drugs and felt sorry for them all of the days I knew him. Kevin was such a sweet little old boy. I don't really, you know, just don't know how that he came and he lived like he did, but he was so great. And one day we were there at home and we saw the ambulances go through and out there in the middle of the country where dad lives, you know, when that happens, we want to figure out, because everybody knows everybody, where's it going? And the word comes back. Kevin had just shot his little brother. It was an accident. Playing with a gun. And somehow he thought it was unloaded. But in the playing of it, Kevin shot his baby brother. And when the ambulance got there, they told me you could hear him screaming for a long way. They said a half a mile. I don't know. Probably a little extreme. But they said you could hear him screaming before they got there as he's over the body of his dead brother. He's got his head hung in his hands. And he said, I'll never do it again. Oh, Bubby, please come back. I'm so sorry. I'll never play with guns again. I'll never do it again. But he cannot bring back little brother. I'll say, some things, once they're done. And they cannot be undone. Judas went out and he flung the money down at the feet of the priest. Said, I have betrayed innocent blood. But he found out that the devil gives no refunds. Before you make the deal, listen to me, young man. Listen to me, young lady. Before you make the deal with the devil, you better read the fine print. Hell does not give refunds. He'll take you and use you and abuse you when you're done and throw it down at your feet. And they say, what is that to us? See thou to it, for once it's done, it cannot be undone. And the Bible said Esau found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What are you looking for, Esau? I'm looking for a way to undo what I did yesterday. I'm looking for a road into yesterday. But there are no roads to yesterday. I heard a story a friend of mine told me that there was a man that he worked in the psych ward hospital for the criminally insane. So they brought a guy in there and he had been guilty of a heinous crime against a little old girl. He was so drugged out of his mind, he didn't know what he was doing. But they said they brought him in, and he kept screaming, I got to get back. I got to get back. He said he would run, grab the door, and shake the door. I got to get back there. I got to get back. And he would run, and he would throw it the wall and fall and lay on the floor and then get up and do it again. Said, I've got to get back there. I've got to get back there. And finally, they brought in a psychiatrist. They said, what is the deal? What's going on with this man? They strapped him down in a straitjacket. He's screaming his head off. They said, what's wrong? He said, he's hunting for a door to get back to yesterday where he can undo what he has done. But he found what Pilate and so many others have found. There are no doorways to yesterday. And once it's done, it cannot be undone. Oh, listen to what this preacher's talking to you about tonight. Once the water's spilt, you can't gather it back up. Or don't leave the house of God. The way to take care of it is find an altar somewhere and stay true to the Lord. Oh, help us right now, Holy Ghost. Help us in this house right now. Lift your hand right now and ask the Lord to help us preach right now.
Hold on. Let there be wisdom, Lord. God, give that anointing, God. Strengthen him, Lord. Come on, Brother Brent. Use him, Holy Ghost.
I'd like to preach different, but I feel a burden in my heart right now.
Got it. Come on.
That there's some folks here right now in this service. You've already taken the contract in your hand. The contract with the devil. You've already fallen under the spell from hell. He said, why did Samson not realize what Delilah was doing? I am convinced he was so far gone that if you had pulled back the curtain and showed him the barber standing there with a razor, he's going to tell her anyway. Because he's dabbled with it so long, he's hooked now. His eyes have glazed over and he's charmed. I preached to a young lady just here very recently that the devil's already got the hooks and the date has already been set. And I'm begging her, my God, you're about to destroy your home. You're about to walk out and destroy everything you've got. Why can't you wake up? But they're charmed under the spell of hell and they're leading in the wrong direction. I want you to know it's going to be a waste. Don't waste what God has given you tonight.
If this is all I had to preach about, I believe I'd just go sit down and cry out the rest of my days. If the wages of sin, if the woe of a sinner's condition is all I could preach about, I'd just go sit down. But I want to talk to somebody here tonight. And I want to end this message and make an altar call very shortly. And I want to talk to you about the wonder of a Savior's compassion. We're going to have to die. Sin is wasteful. It leaves us wanting. But there's that clause. Oh, I thank God for the clause of grace, don't you? Yet! The wages of sin is death. Yet! Sin is wasteful. Yet! But you don't know how far He's already gone. Yet! Oh, can't you see the glimmer of grace that's in His words? Yet doth He devise means that His banished be not expelled from Him. Oh, I know there is no way to recover the days of yesterday. That there is grace for today and salvation for tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah! There is a glimmer of grace in this house right now. Oh, as preachers here to warn you about sin. Well, I will leave you on a warning about sin. I want to welcome you back to the throne of grace and let the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ turn you around and deliver you on your way down. He speaks to us of the plan of God. For God, who has ordained that men should die, permits them to live. And even devises a means for their restoration. Salvation is not man's plan. It's God's plan. Calvary was never some afterthought that was a response of God to the sin of man. But Calvary was the primary thought. Before the tree was ever grown, Calvary was already on the heart of God. Before He ever breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, Calvary was on the mind of God. That's why He said in Revelation that He is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained for the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you. Or you might go as far to say as the very earth itself was created to be a theater, or God might display to the universe His love, His grace, and His glory. Oh, I'm telling somebody tonight that there is a searchlight from heaven that shines through the crowd to tell the backslider, you can come home. Oh, there's a lot of things in this world that amaze me. But grace is the most amazing thing I know. It tells us of the plan of God. Oh, thank God for the plan of salvation. But it also speaks of the passion of God. For it would have been more than I deserved if He just said, there is a way out of here. Find it the best way you can. But there's a passion in the heart of God that comes to seek and save. And that's where He's at right now. He's seeking. Oh, I feel it in my heart. There's some souls that are gone. And there's some souls that are going. But there is a Savior that is here tonight who is walking these aisles right now with a searchlight of grace. Can you see it in the midst of your dark situation? Have you got a lost loved one that's out there? Don't give up hope. Just keep shining the beacon of grace. Just keep shining. He's the good shepherd that goes after that which is lost. And He doesn't come back till He finds it. It'll be a dead sheep or a live one, but He's going to find it one way or the other. He never quits searching. It's that waiting Father
father. And as soon as he sees the prodigal stand up, he gets himself ready. And he sees what he's yet a great way off. He runs to meet him. You're wondering tonight how and why and what. I'm just asking you to stand. If you'll stand up, heaven will stand up. If you'll stand up tonight, the very throne of glory will become alive. And the angels will stand and ready their instruments. And they're ready for the situation and a celebration. Oh, but as soon as you step out, there is a Father who will leave to meet you there. You'll have to walk back home by yourself. You'll have to come back home alone. There's the grace of God that will lift you up and will bring you all the way back.
Someone get us a song. Somebody come to the music. We're fixing to close. But it's probably the best thing to me here. It speaks to us of the presence of God. That His banished be not expelled from Him. Sin is a separator. Aren't you tired of living outside the realm of grace of God? But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Man was created in the image of God that God might have fellowship with him. And sin broke the link and ruined the fellowship. But the plan and the passion of God has come tonight to restore us. To restore us to that place in the presence of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible is full of those stories of grace. But you remember the story of Debbie? I didn't finish it. But so she came to the altar that night. She grabbed a hold of me and said, "Tell my story, Brent. Save somebody if you can. Tell them I'm a classic example of a backslider." And I fell down and grabbed her my arms. I said, "Debbie, I want to tell your story. But I want to tell a story about redemption. I don't want to end with rejection." I wish I could say she got saved that night. She didn't. She came back the next night. She came back the next night. Best I remember was three nights of wrestling on the altar. But somewhere in the midst of her darkness, Debbie saw a glimmer of grace. And she started that first night walking toward the glimmer. I know it's dark where you're at right now. Praise saints of God. I know it's dark in this house and the land where we're at right now. And maybe all you can see is a glimmer. Just a fragment of hope. But I promise you tonight, if you'll stand and start coming toward the light, as Debbie came, it left a glimmer. And when she finally stepped out, it became a floodlight. And the lights of home were turned on. And Debbie made her way back to God. Her mama told me, my dad's sister told me, said all she did the last 3 weeks of her life, for Debbie died within a month. There's consequences that she didn't get through the tragedy of what it had been. But she spent her last days with a Bible in her hands. She spent her last days singing those old songs again. Debbie got her song back. And I'm reminded about what he said in Hosea. She will sing again. I want to let somebody know tonight that there's still a song that you can sing. It's a song of the redeemed. You don't have to be a signpost on the way to hell. You can be one who can stand and tell the lost, "You can come home, for I came home." Let's stand right now. Where does the message find you tonight? Every head's bowed and eyes closed. I want you praying. I wish I'd get just Brother Bridges or some of these men that know how to do this out here. Because I've never learned how. All I know to do is tell you that if your code of conduct has left you in a land of isolation, where you're living under a load of guilt and shame, And all you can do is look through the fragments of broken dreams and wasted years. I want you to stop tonight before you go any deeper in the mire of sin. Before you begin to make that final payment for sin. If you'll listen tonight, you'll hear the voice of the Good Shepherd as He calls your name. He said, come home. Stop right now and look up. Listen to me, young folks. If you've been listening to the wrong voice, I feel it in my heart right now. You've been listening to the wrong voice. You're fixing to make a fatal error. Don't make it. Stop right now. And in the midst of the fog where you're at, there's a glimmer of grace. If you'll turn right now, as they get us a song, and make your way toward this altar, you'll find out that that glimmer will turn into glory. And the Lord will show the light of His love and the direction. Before we come as a general altar call, while everybody's praying right now, I wonder if you'd step out of where you're at while nobody's looking around. While nobody's looking around, we open the altar for you to step out. Come on, young folks. You need to be the first ones at the altar right now. You need to step out and come around the altar and say, Lord, I've been listening to the wrong voice. We don't want to be the first one out. Are you a young man or a young woman who's brave enough to step out of where you're at and lead? Maybe it's a little child, but a child shall lead them. We need some folks. I don't want nobody thinking. You're going to be more than thinking in a few days if you don't get this right. If we don't turn this around tonight, I feel it in my heart. If somebody don't make a turnaround in this house right now, everybody's going to know. One more call. I'm begging you to come. Step out of where you're at tonight.
Now the blood was presented.
Father, I've done my best tonight. We felt the witness of the Holy Ghost in this house. So I'm asking you right now, Lord, to reach where we cannot reach. Touch the hearts that are here right now, Lord. Let them feel the draw of heaven in this crowd right now. We commend it into your hands. As they sing, I want you to come around this altar now, saints of God. Make your way down to this altar right now. And while they're coming, I want you to join us. Come on. Come on. Come on, empty out of where we're at. Why don't you step out, sir? Why don't you step out, ma'am, while these are coming? Do you know somebody that's out there that's a waste? Come on. Come on, ladies. Come right on around here. Come on. There's plenty of room. Come on, girls. Come on, young man. Come on. Come on. We need to get a hold of the Lord tonight. Come on. Come on. Join us at this altar right now. Join us at this altar right now.
Now the blood was
come on. Oh, while they're coming, there's still room. There's still room for you tonight. There's still room for you tonight. Come on.
When mercy walked in.
Come on, there's still room for you tonight.
Oh, mercy walked in.
Come on. There's still room for you tonight.
Call to the stand, God's saving grace. Now the blood was.
Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's get a hold of the Lord tonight. Let's get a hold of the Lord tonight. Come on.
Forgive us when mercy walks.
Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Move at this altar right now, Lord.